Welcome to a very special edition of the Tilehouse End podcast. I'm joined by Tim Kilpatrick, who some of you may know. He's listed very, very heavily on the staff and structure. Before we go any further, we're kind of coming straight off the back of the Purple Tail event last night, and I'm pleased to say that he has been home and he has changed his clothes. So, Tim, how are you this morning, mate?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's yeah, a bit tired. But yeah, all fine. Last night was it seemed to go really well.
Yeah, it did. It was a very enjoyable event, and having, so many people there, but also kind of, having Ruben and Noel and Andrew there was great as well. So I think it was well attended by all accounts, which is good. We'll come back to that later on. I mean, for those people that are listening and don't know, can you give, and I know he's kind of off air, you said this is the hardest question you ever get asked, but kind of just a rough description of what your job entails kind of day to day, really.
Yeah, so my job title is head of commercial. It is quite a broad job description, I'd say, but it's my job effectively, the way I put it, is to try and increase revenues for the club and try and without sounding too crass about it, trying to make the club as much money as we can. So within that sits sponsorship, sits hospitality. Sits, of course, on marketing campaigns for season tickets, for ticketing, for retail, and sort of oversee our retail program with Fanatics as well as various different ad hoc bits that might come out. And there's little ways to make money here and there. I should say, of course, within that isn't all just me. We work with various different functions. Paul Collins, our head of ticketing, who manages that brilliantly. We've got Rob, who manages our CRM, and various different staff that all contribute towards that. But I think, as many people know, the Reading Football Club way of working is everyone just mucks into whatever the job is needed. There's no such thing as that's not my job. Everyone pulls in to try and make things go as best as we can.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. It's obviously we're coming off, a fairly difficult period of time, and you've been here for fairly difficult times as well. And one of the most positive things to come out of this pre-season is, having the kits, which, to be honest, they're completely and utterly bonkers in some respects. But I know that you are, kind of discussions that we've had previously, that you are kind of fairly responsible for creating those kits, right? And I think, one of the things here is that you might be in danger of kind of doing yourself a disservice in terms of how much you put into that. Before we get into the individual kits, obviously we've got this deal with Macron, who in my opinion are infinitely better than previous kit suppliers that I won't name personally. I know that a lot of people are very, very into the kits this year, but likewise, they've kind of split opinions. Before we kind of get into specifics of the shirts and the kind of where your ideas came from to make those, just talk us around kind of the design process in terms of how those kits go from, notebook, laptop to actually being in the shop as they are right now today on the, was it 4th of August? They're there right now, guys, and it's very busy. So get your shirts while you can.
So it's it's quite an interesting process, and one which before I worked at the club, it's hard to really understand it unless you do it. I think, a lot of the credit also needs to, of course, go to Macron because, as you sort of mentioned, versus other brands and other ways of doing their signing their kits, you do have complete flexibility in what you can do. To go right back to the start, I think when I first arrived at the club, I inherited the. I arrived just at the in January 2019, so it was the last year of the Puma partnership, and then going into the Macron partnership, and the kits have already been designed, everything like that. So the kits, they went on store in the summer, and they were very, very nice kits. If anyone remembers, quite classy. The nice blue and white hoops with the quite a classy like button collar. And there was a nice black and sort of burgundy red away kit, which was really nice. I wasn't involved in that, but they were very nice. And then I think historically what the club had been at the process, and this might have been because of the limitations of other brands and stuff, it was almost a case of just do a nice kit and you try, or the brand might come to you and say, these are your options for this year. Which do you like the best? Yeah, we'll go with that one. Looks okay. Let's see if the fans like it.
So they would literally give you sort of three or four options and you'd go,
I believe so. Yeah. I say I wasn't working at the club at this time. I believe okay. so. I'm not. And I certainly don't want to do that as a discredit to any other brand,
yeah, sure.
because, you know, let's say Puma is an example. I know the club had a fantastic working relationship with Puma. And I still keep in touch with them now, despite us not being their partners. But I believe that was the case. I think that's probably the case for a lot of brands, but technology evolves and working ways evolved. And what we sort of started to work on was, and we had the perfect opportunity for it because of the anniversary year. So the first kits I designed alongside a chap called Mark Ilsey, who you probably know, Ben. He doesn't work with us now, but we both worked on the kits for the 2021 campaign. I said, you know, try just to make some nice kits. And that was I think it's hard to describe it. It was obviously blue and white hoops, and we had the red kit as the away kit. And they went okay. But it was COVID year, so it was really hard to sort of obviously the uptake on buying shirt, no one was coming to games, so that did obviously affect our sales. But then the anniversary year, 21-22, gave us an opportunity to really use the kits as part of that storytelling piece and try and drive engagement around what the kits mean to the club and to our fans and to our community. So that was quite a simple way of us, okay, let's try and create a old style shirt in a modern way for the home kit, and of course bring the Simod Cup winning kit back to life was a brilliant opportunity for us. And I think what we've tried to do since then, we might not always do it this way, what we've tried to do since then is to try and implement a story behind the kits, because you know kits mean something to a town and to our fans and to our people. So and what that story is, you're always sort of trying to define. But for last season, being 22-23, it coincided with, and it's a long way of answering the whole process, but so about a year, 18 months in advance, I'd had this meeting with the University of Reading, who told me all about the climate initiative, the climate stripes, and what they were doing there, and it felt like a perfect way to work together.
Yeah.
So effectively I went to a couple of guys internally and said, I think we need to put this in the kits in some way. It's a great story. Got a few funny looks and thought, I think it might work. So the process from there is, so where are we now? We're in August. You'll start the process of designing a kit in May of the previous year.
Okay.
So as an example, in May just gone, we started the design process for next year's kits for 24-25. So it is an over a 12-month process. You send a brief to Macron, and they'll come out with, they'll send you some ideas from the brief. And I'm sure Macron probably wouldn't like it if I said, I usually send them a brief and then I usually tell them something completely different. But after you've got the brief and you've got a base of what you want to do, last 2 years, I think it's just been me, but previously myself and Mark would fly out to Italy. You sit down with the designer, big screen, almost like, I used to play Pro Evo and FIFA growing up, and you design your own kits.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
really is what it is. And it's you're trying to create a kit that our fans will like, that I like. I'm a football fan, and you try and make a kit that looks nice and it's got some sort of story behind it. So that design meeting takes place in June, and the idea is to leave Bologna, which is where Macron are based, with a series of kits and training kits which you're happy with. There's a few approval processes that go down that obviously need to meet manufacturing guidelines,
yeah,
and also
sure.
approval processes from the EFL, and which is difficult. Colorblind rules, which we need to play into now, and you know, place your orders by the end of August, and from there, that's ideally by the end of August. It is a challenge to always meet that, and then from there, it's a 9-month manufacturing process where you know, we need to wait for the goods to be delivered.
I mean, I think, you know, you described the process really well. And what I'm getting is that you're basically living the dream of a football fan,
yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of actually, because everyone wants to design a kit, right? Everyone's got their favourite kits. You know, me personally, I like a lot of the national kits because there's no sponsors on there. And I think, you know, my frustration with previous shirts is that, you know, when we had Waitrose, for example, the colour of the sponsor was like well off.
Yeah.
And Carabao. So we had like... there was a kit that was orange made by Puma, but the massive Carabao logo was red.
Yeah.
So kind of the red and orange, it was just like, you know, it's almost kind of sensory overload, really. You know, you mentioned about the kind of story of the kits and how that's kind of marketed and what people see that as. And in some respects, you know, same with the player reveals, that's almost become just as important as the product or the player that's been announced. If we look at the three kits, you know, this season, it's fair to say that they've gone in a completely different direction. And again, from a personal point of view, I think the home shirt's too much. However, you know, my daughter, who is 8, who is not into football, but is forced into that, you know, I was showing her the kits this morning before I left to come here, and straight away she could see the water tower.
Yeah.
Because actually that's just around the corner from where we live.
Yeah.
Same with the Blade, same with the Fulbury Gardens, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And in terms of all of the kits, you know, the away kit generally, and I'm not just saying this because you're sat, you know, a couple of yards away from me, but it's one of the best kits I've ever seen that this club's had, because it's iconic and it's not watered down. It's a really nice colour. Like the Fulbury line is just, or the Malwood line even, is just very, very iconic to this town. Mm-hmm. And if you've grown up with that, you literally physically want to buy into that.
Yeah.
Obviously last night, and we'll loop back around to that later on, but you know, the reveal of the Amazons and having that literally the purple turtle kit, just incredible, really. I mean, what was your thinking behind creating, first of all, the three kits? And there's kind of a theme there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Why was that so important to you to get that in?
So, because obviously the story behind last year's kits and the climate stripes was extremely successful certainly from a PR perspective. It straight away, almost having done that, you start thinking about what's next. And I think since I've been at the club, which is, you know, almost 5 years now, there's definitely been this growing, or you know, maybe not growing, but there's been a feeling, I think, of the club has become a little bit disconnected with the actual town itself. And that's something which you know, we need to do everything we can to try and bridge that gap, because as you can probably tell by my accent, I'm not from Reading. I'm from Blackpool. So last season was a fantastic season.
Are you a Blackpool fan? Sort of.
When you're from the area, obviously you're a Blackpool fan. I grew up as a Man U fan.
Okay.
When I moved down to London when I was 18, so I've been down here now almost as long as I've been up north. And it's weird, when you leave the area, you become more of a like proud of
Siege
like,
Map LA stuff. Yeah, yeah.
But I will say, for anyone listening, I get thrown this all the time. Trust me, last season when we were playing Blackpool, like every single part of me wants Reading to win. When you work at a club, you are completely immersed you know, it affects your life. So yeah, that's for the record. Yeah. but yeah, it's so yeah. I grew up in Blackpool, and I think that if you'd have asked me to say, tell me something about Reading, I'd have said, well, Blue White Hoops, Kevin Doyle, Shane Long, you know, Stephen Hunt. So I think the football club has got a responsibility to communicate the town. I think, you know, we are, most people around the country, we represent the town. So it's important that we're talking about the town in a positive way. And that was really what I tried to do with the climate stripes. And of course, like, you know, the biggest message was around sustainability. And, you know, it's, you know, not everyone on Twitter agreed, but I think most people would agree that, the you know, people do need to make differences to try and help everyone. But when it came to this season, I did have a lot in mind about this reconnection with the town. And don't get me wrong, launching some cool kits isn't, or interesting kits, as you put it, Ben, isn't going to fix that in one hit. But the more we can do to try and reconnect the club with the town bit by bit, it's going to have a benefit for the football club and hopefully our community. I'm a big believer. I'd like to think that, let's say, obviously, last night's kit, I'd like to think there's a lot of people who love the purple turtle who are going to buy the kit, might not give two hoots about football. And that's, you know, that's a great thing for our football club. I think the objective with kits is, and obviously our replica range is, for me, yes, it's a revenue driver, but also it's a big engagement tool. It doesn't matter for me what price they're buying it for. Obviously, we've got to set the price.
Yeah.
But the more people we can have wearing Reading Football Club shirts, even if they're not football fans, is better for the town. It's only going to grow our fan base and make us more relevant to people in this area. So that was the sort of, you know, this scattergun idea in my head of trying to do something with everything being linked to the town. And you see, I'm not going to name any, but you see some other clubs where I can tell they've been given a design and then they've tried to connect.
Yeah.
Like there was one club, I won't say who it is because I know the guys who work there, but they had the exact template shirt of another club and they tried to make a connection with their, you know, the bricks in their town or something, and it was like obvious that it wasn't true. But the benefit of working with Macron is that we can try and just blank canvas paint this picture. And yeah, there obviously many people will question the delivery of it, like the home, as you correctly say. Some people, it isn't for them, and some people love it. And I think the good thing for me is that if you take social media as your reaction, you're always going to get, you know, can I swear? So I mean the first comment after we launched the home kit was, this is shit. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
gotta get better from here.
And it's I think it's one of those, you never, you know, we know, and I know, even doing the very small bits that I do sort of at half time, you're never going to please everybody. Actually, what I'm hearing from you and what I know of people at the club currently is that they are, you know, you're trying your absolute best to kind of join the dots up.
Yeah.
And I think the point you made about, you know, starting from the front in terms of this is what I want the kit to be in terms of the message and the story and kind of working that way. And no one's going to be able to rip off the kits that we've got this season because they are completely and utterly unique, and they will be, I don't collect kits personally, but they'll be collector's items moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, these will be sold on eBay for hundreds of pounds in a couple of years time when you can't get them. You know, going back to your point about people who love the purple tail but don't care about Reading Football Club, again, is really, really key because, like I mentioned earlier about my daughter, she gets dragged to football occasionally. My son's massively into it. She just wants anything with a Reading badge on. Mm. But she said, actually, can I have the home shirt because it's got the water tower on it?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, in terms of the pricing point of them as a separate issue, I personally think they're great value because you look at clubs like Man City, look at clubs like Arsenal, you know, a lot of people in this area probably support those clubs or those bigger clubs. The pricing point for those, I think a name shirt starts at like £75, even for kids.
Yeah.
That's insane amount of money for something that they probably go out of in 6 months' time. Ours, I think, are coming in at 45, are they? Something like that.
For kids.
And then 55 for adults. Yeah. And, you know, that's really, really good value. I think really, you know, talking about the community and certainly the event last night, you've been pretty clear on kind of what you wanted the kits to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you said you're never going to please everyone and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Kind of revealing them last night with the Amazons, who are, of course, a, you know, very famous Reading band who are doing massive things in the music world. What was the kind of starting point for that? Was it like, okay, we want to do an event before pre-season? Did it all fall into place in one go? Was it like gradual? Like what was the kind of design process for last night?
So I actually had a pretty clear idea in my head for a long time of this purple turtle kit. I think the purple turtle is quite an iconic. It's an iconic Reading venue, and what I love about the purple turtle is, I should probably expect people to say like they're snake bites or something, aren't you? But what I love about the purple turtle, not being from here, is that everyone in Reading knows the purple turtle.
Yeah,
everyone that is like I used to live like in South London, and for anyone then that has also lived there, I compare it to Infernos in Clapham.
Okay,
whereas everyone says, we're not going to Infernos tonight, are we? And you always end up in Infernos. And Purple Turtle is that for Reading. My wife's from Reading. And whenever we've had friends over in Reading, and you know, Maddie, my wife, will say something like, oh, let's go to the Purple Turtle. And everyone, what, the Purple Turtle? What is that? And then James, it was a couple of years ago, James Corden did something, and he was doing his show in the US, and he was talking to someone who was from, and it came up, didn't it? The Purple Turtle. I just think it's a brilliant, brilliant, it's got an amazing name, and it's obviously an iconic Reading venue.
A couple of months ago when we were talking about this, and you said, what's the one place that everyone in Reading knows, but people outside don't? And you said exactly that. It's the Purple Turtle. Yeah.
So no one outside of Reading gets it, but everyone inside Reading gets it. So it's a bit like a, if you know, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I had this in my head for a while about doing a purple turtle kit. And for complete honesty, I raised it for the anniversary year of, do we do something, maybe a goalie kit or something like that?
Mm.
And for whatever reason, we decided not to do it. But I kept saying, I want to do it. And then we didn't do it last year because of the climate stuff. It didn't seem to fit. But I had it in my head for a long time, this like pre-season party, Amazon's to launch it. And I don't want to make it too complicated. Like the way I tend to work is that it probably frustrates some people I work with. I have this idea in my head. I'm like, no, we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I probably got in touch with the first people I got in touch with was obviously Danny and Greg at the Purple Turtle. I was got in touch and said, look, can I meet if you want to discuss something? So went to the Turtle, and they probably think, oh God, what's Tim trying to sell us? And I was like, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I just want, would you mind if I made a kit that was
you.
In that was you, that was Purple Turtle? And I think some people you say this to, you might be a bit like, oh, you know, it has to be this, you know, shade of whatever, and we'll have to make sure we go over it. Anyone who knows Danny and Greg, they were just like, yeah, great, crack on.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was that box ticked. The second point was to float this idea past the Amazons. And, you know, obviously we got on quite well with their management team because we've done various stuff with them at the stadium, and it was a very quick, this is what we're thinking to do. Would you like to launch it? This is my idea. You know, surprise Purple Turtle. People don't know the Amazons are coming. You go on stage, take your jacket off, show the third kit. And it was, yeah, let's do it. And it was, people kept asking me, okay, what's the itinerary for last night and things like that. I was like, just
quite go with it. Q&A, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Band on at night, yeah. Get your shirt off, get your jacket off, done. And it wasn't like everyone, the guys at the Turtle, the band management, ourselves, it was very much like, let's just do it and have fun. I think it turned out all right. And I think, you know, the we're sat here at what, 10 a.m. on Friday after the night. The shirts went on sale at 9 p.m. We've already got our fastest selling shirt for quite some distance for a few years. And it's got a lot of people talking. And I, as you alluded to, Ben, obviously it's been a tough time over recent months, years, however long you want to go back. And from my perspective, I want to get people talking about the fun things that we do, like supporting Reading Football Club. I can't control everything, there's clearly, but the things that I can control, let's make it fun. Let's make, let's do things like last night where people can come, have a good time. And as you can see by Matt from the band, he's incredibly passionate about the club. Mm. And we just want to do more stuff where we can to get people talking about us in a positive way where we can. It's not always easy, but I think last night worked really well. And hopefully...
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
If we can create positivity, it only has a positive impact on the pitch.
I think you're right. I mean, in my line of work, people may or may not know, but I work in a local school in a pretty difficult area, kind of economically, and we work very, very closely with the community trust. Mm-hmm. So I know Dave very well, and I know Chris. Arinda obviously comes into school sort of every week, and they are, they've always been kind of really clear on their goals, because obviously they're a community trust, but also they care about, the community quite literally. Mm-hmm. And my kind of impression, not just talking to you, but, talking to people like Jackie, talking to people like Paul, in the ticket office and others as well, is that I think the main thing that people forget and we forget sometimes as fans is that the people that work at the club away from the first team are actually fans as well. And listening to Noel Hunt last night, and he's a really good example of that in terms of him having really good, quite successful times with the club previously, and then coming back to work here in our kind of, without being dramatic, but kind of darkest hours. People in the building, we literally sat in the Carlisle Stadium, it's very, very busy. People that work here are fans as well. And I think the fact that you guys are recognising that is a really key driver and kind of taking people with you. And ultimately, it's, for me and anything I do, it's always about relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, there is a fan-to-club relationship. And as you alluded to, there's no doubt that over the years, that's maybe been eroded for various reasons, which we won't go into now. But these kind of kits are, they get people talking, they get people kind of driving, they get money through the door. And that's ultimately what football clubs need to do, especially when you are, I say dwelling, that's not quite right, but when you're in the lower leagues, if you're an Arsenal or a Liverpool, you can rely on the Asian market in terms of and the worldwide market and go on American tours and stuff to bring money in. We don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. So actually we're looking at marketing, we're looking at advertising, we're looking at merchandising, and it looks like there's a really clear plan in place to kind of move that forward. I mean, in terms of this year, we are literally just over 24 hours before we kick off against Peterborough. What are your aims for the club off the pitch this season and kind of moving forward into next?
Yeah, it's a difficult one to answer because, over the past 3-4 months, the commercial landscape for us changes, of course, with relegation and with, the off-the-field stuff that's been going on. I think, it's important. I always think, especially with where we are with the club right now, it's important not just to look at revenue in my role. It's also to look at engagement and what we can do to, the most important thing we can do as a club is to get fans through the door. I think most people would agree that we have a competitive ticket price. I know some prices went up this year, which was the first time in many years, but we have a competitive ticket price. So the question I have is, the question you always have to ask is, why aren't more people coming? What can we do to make more people come? I don't think it's a price issue. So it's a question of what can we do to try and make people want to come to games. And I think a lot of that comes from that connection with the town. If people don't feel like the club represents them, as whether they're a football fan or not, then we're going to have a challenge trying to get them through the door. So I think that is a big thing which I can control. We can do more to try and create that connection. Results on the pitch, help hugely, but I can't control it.
Yeah, you can't control it. Yeah.
So we have to keep doing activities with our local community, with the trust who do incredible work in the local areas, you say, Ben. And we can always do more. It's not, there isn't like a, okay, that there is no perfect. You could always do more. And, you know, I think there's no point getting away from it. We don't have a big team here at Reading. There's only 24 hours in a day. And everyone works their socks off to try and do everything that they can to achieve this goal. But for me, beyond revenues and, you know, maximizing revenues, which ultimately is what I'm judged on, it's about doing everything we can to try and create that connection and get people through the door and in the right way. There's also various different process things, which I think we're doing better now than perhaps we have done in the past. Okay. The way we send our tickets and emails, the way we communicate our path to purchase and things like that, which become more important when you get relegated, because, you know, you want it to be an emotional decision, and people, you know, you get an email at the right time saying you need to buy your ticket. I don't want them to think about it because I've had four stages to go through and a login issue. I want them to buy it.
Yeah.
And we need to tap into that. And that's just, you know, that's, you know, it's basic marketing, really. I'm sure people say listening to that. But in terms of what my goals, of course, we have a revenue target, and I won't share that on here, but it's also about trying to stabilize where we are commercially. And of course, in my role, sponsorship is a huge part of that. And we need to make sure that our sponsors are invested in what's going on. And obviously, many of you know the guys at Select Car Leasing are huge fans, they're incredibly invested in the club. But our other sponsors as well, and ensure that they're bought into a journey of not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, what we can deliver for them. And we've recently recruited an extra member of staff to our partnership team to make sure that we are maximizing what we can do in that area and making sure that our partners are getting every bang for their buck.
Yeah.
Long answer there, but
I think it's important to hear. I mean, you know, again, from a personal point of view, I was out in town on Wednesday night, and I was getting the train back to Tilehurst. And as I was at the train station, literally hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of people wearing Arsenal shirts got off the train.
I'll tweet on it.
Yeah. And I was like, what is this? And I was in my head, I was like, I'm getting quite angry at this, because it's like, yeah, great, that's your club, whatever. But they weren't getting out of Reading to get another train.
Yeah.
They were putting their tickets through the turnstiles and going home. And I was like, what is this? Like, there's probably more people here than getting the bus to the game against Swansea. And I know it's Arsenal, and it's not a million miles from where we are. But, you know, that for me, that's, and I'm sure it is for you, that's got to be the driver in terms of actually like winning these people around. Again, do you know what? You've got a professional football club on your doorstep.
Yeah.
All right. It's not, you know, not competing in Europe and the Premier League, but actually it's affordable. You know, like again, classic from family point of view, but my dad started taking me to Arden Park in 93. Mm-hmm. I know I don't look old enough, but I am. And the same with my son. He started coming to games when he was sort of, you know, five, mm-hmm. and then got hit with COVID in terms of the year. And now he's just absolutely obsessed with it.
Yeah.
You know, he loves everything to do with Reading Football Club. And that's, I never kind of said, right, come on, you're going to football. Mm-hmm. He just kind of organically found that. And that's why, you know, having these kits, having the kind of the ticketing schemes that you guys run and the regularity of those is so important in terms of pushing those. So, yeah, I think...
You touched on a good point there, Ben, which is something which I think the word that I want us to be in this is relevant. We have to be relevant to lots of different audiences. And that isn't just football fans. And that's something... And this is something that is long to medium term vision. It's not something that you can do in a day. But myself and obviously our media team, and we have spoken about how do we make ourselves relevant. Whether that's, you know, why do people follow football teams? Is that because they like a certain player? Mm. Is it because they like the stuff they do on TikTok? Is it because they like the kits? Is it because it's their local club? Is it because they have a local business there? There's various different reasons why that people will support or follow a football club. And actually in this generation, supporting a football club isn't just buying a ticket, even though it is probably the most important thing for us, it isn't just buying a ticket. So it's how do we engage different audiences in different ways? So if, you know, the Amazons I don't want to sound like I'm exploiting the Amazons too much, but if the Amazons can help us reach Amazons fans or rock music fans who then start paying an interest because of the relationship that the Amazons have with us, that's brilliant for us. If, as I mentioned earlier, someone loves going to the Purple Turtle, so they buy the Purple Turtle kit, that's brilliant for us. If we can, do some stories or give some insight into certain players or to how things work behind the scenes, that's brilliant for us. So we have to try and tick a lot of boxes. And this is where I want to get to, really. We have to try and tick a lot of different boxes to stimulate different fans. And then if you manage to get a winning team on the pitch, everything's easy.
Yeah.
Or if I saw Birmingham obviously got Tom Brady involved with them last night. If someone like that was to come along and say, I'll wear a Reading shirt, then fantastic. But I think for the moment we can only control what we can control. I also want it to be organic and to be genuine. I'm not saying that Tom Brady isn't genuine and he's not a massive Birmingham fan his whole life.
It's a weird link up there.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's, I know the guys at Birmingham, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, I want things to be genuine. Like, as you can see from the band last night, they are genuine Reading fans. Like, he was, they're coming to the game on Saturday. They care deeply about the club. And what opportunities do we have to try and reach? And I've got ideas in my head that, I won't say on here, but sometimes they seem far-reached. But there's also things where I think we should be doing stuff there. That's a link for us. That's an opportunity for us. Mm. So we'll see where we go.
Well, I mean, don't worry about exploiting the Amazons because they've kind of, well, I reached out to their management, Tom at Shoot Music, and who you put me in touch with, and they haven't said no to taking part in a halftime game this year. So fingers crossed they'll do that. And they've kind of been quite generous with what we want to do on the pod as well. So, moving forward, hopefully we can get some connections there. Just before we end, obviously we're literally on the eve of a brand new season against Peterborough tomorrow at home. 3 o'clock kickoff here at the Select Carl Eason Stadium. Predictions for the game tomorrow? What do you think?
This is an awful answer to be on here, but... I learned quite quickly working here, there's no point making predictions.
Oh, really? Okay.
This is the first time I've worked in League One, so but obviously the Championship, that is, it was always whichever team plays better on the day wins, right?
Yeah.
And, I assume League One will be the same. I mean, I think what I really hope for tomorrow is that, we're all talking about what happens on the pitch after the game. And I'm hoping that... I know the scoreline didn't reflect it. And this is just what I'm talking myself as a football fan here. And I don't know, people might not like me saying it, but obviously I was at the Swansea game. The result wasn't good. But I think that there was a lot to be encouraged by in that first 45 minutes and the way that they're playing. And you can see that the new manager, Ruben, has got them playing. So I think it's actually quite an exciting time in terms of actual style of play, and we'll see how that develops. Mm. Predictions? Oh, there's no point, Ben. if you want me to, let's go 1-0 Reading. Why not?
Perfect result. Charlie Savage. Why not? Yeah, let's do it. Tim, listen, I appreciate how busy you are. Obviously, before we started the pod here, he had numerous phone calls about a variety of different things. So, I really appreciate you giving up your time, and hopefully this will not be the last time you're on the pod and we can get you on moving forward. And I am trying to work on other people at the club to come on and talk about, just to give an insight into what they do day to day, because I think it is valuable. And I think it's kind of looking at the team behind the team and kind of appreciating the role that you guys play in terms of putting the club up and doing what you do. So, I really, really appreciate your time. I'm off to buy the new away shirt, which is now in stores, and the home shirt as well, actually.
Yeah, both are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we can get those now. I hope you've enjoyed listening. We'll be back on Monday. Ross will be back and we'll do our kind of posh review, I guess, really. Hopefully we'll be talking about 3 points for Reading FC. Come on, you arse. It's